It's interesting. She didn't say who, but almost. I tried to get a hold of you, Jack, but you were probably having breakfast. So all of a sudden, bing, in my mind, thank you, Lord. Call Enoch. I bet he will. And he said two words, why not? So thank you, Enoch. We all appreciate it. And if we will be willing to hear what you have to say this morning. So come and enlighten us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord.
Good morning.
This, and you know, I think God knows what He's doing. I know when I got that call this morning, I was sitting there thinking about what I was going to say this afternoon, and I said, you know, the Lord, I heard this voice say, Enoch, will you do the service this morning? I said, uh-oh, Lord, you did it again. I've gotten used to him changing my plans. You know? And the word tells us what? The instant in season and out of season. So I got the wife busy. I said, what's the say about the message this morning? And she started reading through it. And she said, this is Joseph 39, 1 to 6. And she thought Joseph was part of Mark's lane. I said, no, that's not his name. That's the book we're going to be talking about. Well, it was all in fun. And before we get started, let's go and ask our Lord and Savior to direct my voice, my thoughts, and my heart, that you might be the planting that He has today to plant them in through His word. Father, we thank you. Thank you for giving us this day, Lord, waking us up this morning with the health and strength that we have. Lord, we feel the need that our brother has in his heart because we know that he wanted to be here. And Lord, we just ask that you be with him and strengthen him for the work ahead. Lord, now just bless each and every one that's here. Lord, make their hearts receptive to what you have to say through my voice and my heart today. And Lord, help me to express it in a way that will be to your glory, honor, and praise in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, give me a second here, put my, see, because I normally memorize my text and I kind of mull it over for a week or two. But it just happens that in a Bible study I'm doing at home, that we've been studying Joseph for several weeks. So I said, well, Lord, I guess I'll leave that other thing alone and go where you want me to go. And we're going to read from chapter 39 of Genesis, verses 1 through 6. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to do to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight, and he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, and he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's household for his sake. And the blessing of the Lord was all upon he had in the house and the field. And he left all that he had in the hands of Joseph, and he did not know what he had except for that which he ate. Now, I know what, if I was going to trust anybody with anything, it would not be with what I eat. This is a story that seems like it's going pretty well at this time for Joseph, because Joseph had been in his family back in Canaan till he was 17 years old. And he had a history that seemed rather dubious, because his father had chosen him as his favorite, being the youngest and the son of his old age. You know, I hope I don't have any that old. Because I used to think my father was 44 when I was born. That meant that he was 65 when I was 21. I'm going to tell you, he was tired by the time I got done wearing him out. Because I was a pain. I wasn't like Joseph. I wasn't the one that, did everything that pleased his father. But Joseph had 11 sons at this point. Jacob had 11 sons at this point, and only one of them pleased him. The other 10 were a pain. And Joseph happened to be the snitch. He gave a bad report of his brothers because of their actions. Now, you know, that didn't get him any place with them. And then, of course, his father turned around and gave him a coat of many colors. He was dressed, to kill, so to speak, as we would put it in today's vernacular. He was out there standing out with his outfit, and I'm sure that made him feel good. But it didn't do anything for his rapport within the family. In fact, they hated him. Yes, they were jealous, envious of his. And besides that, the Lord had chosen Joseph to give him a vision of what was going to happen within that family in the upcoming years. And even greater than that, how he was going to be instrumental in bringing about God's purpose for them. And when he told that to them, they said, "What do you mean? We're going to bow down to you?" And they hated him more. Then he told a second dream to his father and his brothers, and it included his mother and father. And his father rebuked him and said, "Wait a minute, are we going to all bow down to you? I'm your father." If I'd have told that to my father, he'd probably got out that leather belt that he had and said, "Let me warm you up a bit and see if how that feels." But you're going to look, and that's real today, because 50 years ago, you were to be heard, not seen. If you had a voice, you better be a small one than one that said, "Hey, can I speak now? Or is it time for me to say something?" But if they saw you out there in front mouthing off, a lot of times you got warmed up there, before dinner. They sure your seat was well warmed. But, Joseph evidently had some get up and go there. He didn't mind telling what the Lord had told him. And, that's what we're about too, folks. We've got a message that we're going to be able to proclaim as long as the Lord keeps us here, gives us health and strength and breath to proclaim it. You can't be ashamed of it. You can't worry about what your family says about it. You can't worry about whether it's received or not. You can't be responsible for the outcome, because that's not your job. Your job is to proclaim it, to say it in the truth and way that God has given it to you, and with the understanding that you have. Now, I realize that none of us have arrived yet, that we're all in progress, that we're a work in progress that God is doing. Some of us are tending to lean one way or another in our walk with Him, in the sense that we don't all do the same thing. We don't approach life the same way. We don't have the same part in the family as Bob Green or Reba Dunn or Jack Kinley or Rick Agnew. We're all special little creatures that God made, so that he could bring us together to finish what he started, what he's overseeing and directing by his Holy Spirit. And folks, I don't care what you get for education, what you know about music, what you understand about people, what you do in society, the workplace, if it's not under God's sovereign control, it is not going anywhere. You know, I thought about this, like I was a mechanic for about 20 years, and I fixed many a jalopy. I mean, people have brought me all kinds of problems with their cars, and I thought about it. I said, well, you know, Jacob's family was like an old jalopy. He had 11 members there, and they were all misfits. Some of them, you know, ended up with sexual problems. Some of them had murder in their heart. Simeon and Levi went out and slaughtered a whole village because of their sister Diane. But, you know, then some of them wouldn't fight if they had to. You know, Jacob himself proclaimed them as being slaves because they would rather, you know, have the easy life. There's a lot of folks like that today. Won't stand up for anything and won't stand long at all. But, you know, God took a hand in that because he had a purpose for those brothers, and it was going to be for his end. And even with their problems, he took one of them who would listen to him. You say, listen. Well, did God speak to him audibly? No. He gave him a vision. You know, NCCB is talking about a vision today. We're wondering, what is God going to do with this organization? I'm going to tell you, God already knows. It's for us to find out where each one of us fits into that vision. And he's pretty much laid it out for us in Scripture. It's not something that we have to, you know, go wandering around like Joseph did for 13 years till God revealed the fullness of it to him. The fullness of it's already been revealed in Scripture. It says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And I remember when he said at the age of 13, I must be about my Father's business. Folks, it's not our business. It's not monkey business. It's not anything that you and I think is what makes life worthwhile to me. You know, I hate to say this, but a lot of us think that, you know, if I'm happy doing what I'm doing, then life is worth living. No, it's finding out what Jesus intends to do with your life. And until you find that, you're not going to be happy. There's no way you can be. Look at Joseph. Joseph is sent out by his father to see what his brothers are doing. Now, I would have, you know, said, hey, those folks don't want to see me, Bob. Hey, all they do is give me a hard time and, you know, tell you that I'm lying on them. But Jacob sent him anyway. What did he do? He wandered around, got lost for a while, and had to find somebody to tell him where they were because they weren't standing still. They were doing what they wanted to do anyway. Instead of sending back to the father and say, Pop, we're moving over here or we're going over there, which would have been the responsible thing to do, and they wouldn't have had, Joseph wouldn't have had to go looking for him. I know that from the fact, because when I used to get out of school, instead of coming home, I found it more interesting running up and down the side streets with my school friends, and the two or three of us were, you know, stay till 9 o'clock or so, and then the police would pick us up and take us home. I got chauffeured home after school. Of course, when I got home, it was a little different story. But you know, that's the way wayward heart is. It's like that old jalopy, you know. You get in it, and you want to go somewhere with it, right? Well, most of us say, Lord, you can get in the driver's seat, but I'm going to sit alongside of you, and I'm going to put my hold on to the door and have my feet hanging out so if it doesn't go right, I can jump off. And we start down the road, and the Lord says, wait a minute, you need to fix this steering because it's wobbly. You know, it's not going in the straight path here. So we say, no, Lord, I still need that boyfriend. I'm not ready to let him go yet. Or girlfriend. Oh, no. They're going to come along. They're going to become a Christian too, you know. No, they're not. You can't make them one. You can't change their heart. You can't drag them into church, because the only thing you're going to do is they're going to rebel against the church and you and sit up and tell you what the church is not doing, because they don't belong there. If God hasn't brought them there, they're not going to help you grow in your walk, and they're going to be a problem for the rest of the congregation. So you need to leave them at home. If you start to step on the brakes, wait a minute, these things don't hold. And say, oh, Lord, I used to drag my feet, you know, I'd slow it down that way. He said, no, you need to get this fixed. Hey, you know, if I'm running around talking about everybody else in the church and saying, oh, what they're doing and how bad they look, and, I wouldn't put up with that, or the pastor should stop that, or maybe the pastor's the problem. Well, did you sit down and pray for the pastor? Did you ask the pastor, could you help him get through what he's doing? Did you say to him, hey, well, can we sit and get the members of the elders of the church to talk through this and see if we can't work it out? Instead of saying, no, we're not going to bother him. He'll come out of it. Look, I was a Christian for 39 years, folks. Born again, on my way to heaven, and never heard anyone say, Enoch, stop what you're doing and think about it and come back. Because, you know, they didn't, think I was worth it or whatever. Because, I just didn't go to church, didn't read the Bible, didn't speak in tongues or, shout and lift up my hands to the Lord. But you know what? I thank the Lord that he gave me a vision that I was his, that when folks came along from other religions and said, come on, let's go here and there, I tell them, get away from me. Simply just that flat, get away from me. I know who I am in Christ. Because word tells me, he witnesses to our heart that we are his. And there's nobody can take us out of his hand. And I don't care how far you've gone away from him, you haven't gone far enough to leave him, because he'll never leave you. And he's going to bring you back. Now, you may not want to come back the way I did, because I went through some things that I'm still having to deal with in life. I envy people who've had family that they've spent those 40 years with and have been able to say, I was faithful in raising my family. I can't say that. I don't know if I will ever be able to say that, because they're grown. Now, are they responsible citizens? Are they raising families? Well, they told me we taught them how to work, because that's all I did was work. I made plenty of money. I had the home they wanted. The car, a couple of cars sitting in the driveway. But you know what? I realize I gave those years away, but I'm not giving 1 minute away anymore. Folks, we got to get serious with the Lord, because this thing is real. There's nothing out there in this world that will subsidize it, replace it, or come anywhere near it. What we have is what God gave us a vision for, and that's the NCCB. And I do not, I'm sorry to say, appreciate it when folks say, I want to cut back. I am not about cutting back anything. If anything, when the devil comes to me and says, well, maybe you can't do this, I tell him he's a liar, and the truth is not in him, because God has never started anything that he will not finish. And he will finish it through us, or if he can't finish it through you, he'll get somebody else. It's not going to stop. It's going to get done one way or the other. And I want to be a part of what he's doing. Because, Joseph had to have that vision. Joseph When he got to his brothers, they took him, threw him in a pit. Reuben felt a little sorry for him and said, no, don't leave him there. We'll sell him to the Ishmaelites. So they took him out and sold him to the Ishmaelites, because Reuben would have delivered him and taken him back home. But Judah also got in on the act and said, hey, let's make a few bucks off of him and we'll get rid of him that way. Folks, well, compromise is something that is not a part of who we are. When folks tell you we invite those folks into the church that may have alternative lifestyles, let me tell you something. They can come to church. They can listen to the word. You can love them. You can even sit down and eat with them. But you can't make them a part of what God's doing till God makes them a part of the family. If you do, you've invited the devil into your fellowship. That's right. And I'm not saying that, you get hard news and say you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell. Hey, they already know that. They already know that. You don't have to tell them that. They know that there's something wrong in their life, that their life is messed up, and that they're not where God wants them to be. But you got to let them see Christ in you. And what I was going to talk about this afternoon are three L's that make this life worth living. Light. Light is something that God gives us through what? It's His truth. If you know the truth, what does it say? It'll set you free. You got to know the truth. If you're listening to every lie that the society is propagating, and all you're interested in is hearing what some fantasy author or writer says about what life's about, then you're filling your mind with garbage. That's what it's all. If you haven't got the truth to disseminate what it is, how to view it, and what to do with it, it's just filling your heart with garbage. You can use it. Look, there's plenty of smart people in this world. I'm not one of them. I depend on the Lord for everything. And if I have any intellect, it's because He has enabled it, not because I came here and developed it or got some bright idea that I was had a higher IQ than somebody else. But because basically, I didn't get out of high school till 40. I got my GED at 40 years old. But the Lord put it in my heart to go back to school and get it and then go to college. And, at that time, He could do something with me because I was starting to understand that He was directing my life. But until I did that, all that learning I did with the auto mechanics and, people used to say to you, my workers got a thing and they put it on my shirt without my knowing it said wizard. Because every time they'd come and ask me something about a car, I'd say, that's what's wrong with it. And they just couldn't understand that. But I lived that for 20 years. That's all I did was open the hoods on cars and look at the engines and repair them. So, that's natural that you would get some kind of, capability of doing it once in a while right. Anyway, I said, what I want to know now, Lord, is You. I don't want to know how much of the word I can remember or, digest. I want to know the God of the word, not the word, just the word, because there's plenty of folks who are able to reel off verse after verse of the Bible, but you have to get to know what the God of the Bible is saying, what He says to your heart, what He's doing in your life, and then we come together and we put all that together, Just like they put this podium together, somebody nailed it. It's a nice one, too. Somebody nailed it together, and it's holding up this Bible courier we've got down here, and it's holding up this microphone, and it's doing it well. And probably, if you could see it, you'd say it looks good, too, because I can tell just the way it's made that it was well put together. That's the way God wants to put NCCB together. He wants us to fit together with one mind, one heart, and one purpose. And Joseph gets over there in Egypt. Now, can you imagine being 17 years old? Your brothers have sold you into slavery. You don't see your father or mother in the morning. You don't know what the next day is going to bring. And somebody buys you and makes you a slave in their household. But you know what? There was one thing that really makes that story worthwhile. The Lord was with Joseph. Everybody else was gone, but God was still with Joseph. And that, I believe, Joseph knew. Because if he hadn't, can you imagine how angry he would have been? How disappointed he would have been in his brothers and knowing that they had just turned on him like that? And then to have to work for somebody else who really you didn't know anything about in a country where you don't even know the language. I mean, you have to learn the language before you can even function. Think about that. And he did. And he pleased his employer. His employer saw that God was with him. Now, you mean to tell me here's a pagan who's a captain of the guard of Pharaoh who knows that God is with Joseph? Say something about the fact that people, even though they were living hedonistic lives, knew there was a God. I wish America would wake up. Because we're rounding around talking about that, you know, there's no God. We don't need his commandments on the buildings. We don't need his book in our schools. We don't need his, testimony in the workplace. We just don't want him. But he still exists. He's still just as much a sovereign over the affairs of men as he was back then. And he certainly is going to have his way, because all things work for his good and his glory. And I know that, we're part of that. We have a vision. We have a vision that God's going to, enable us to be able to reach those that are lost, whether they be blind, crippled, or crazy. Doesn't make any difference. God doesn't care. He loves every one of them. And folks, don't restrict yourself to any limited insight that somebody says, well, we're a group of this or a group. We're all God's children. And that's the only way it's going to work, because he didn't make any difference. He said there's no free, no slave, no rich, no poor, no male, no female. Well, if we're working for the Lord, we're his messengers, his message to this world. And what people see in your life and what you say about your God is what's going to make the difference in their lives. And that was true, because Potiphar said, well, Joseph, I see the Lord's with you. I'm going to let you run my household affairs. How many Christians get that position today in society? Most of the time, all they get is a bunch of persecution. And people talking about, oh, you're one of them Jesus freaks, huh? Or, all you talk about is religion. Or, you can't bring that stuff in here. We don't want to hear it. But you know what? We know that we still have to do it, because that's the only way they're going to get to hear it, if we're not going to be able to stand up and say, this is the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So if you feel like you're intimidated, and they say, well, now we can get along because we don't talk about Jesus, you're in the wrong place. You want to get up and say, I don't care whether you want to hear it or not. If I have to listen to your rhetoric about Islam, about Mormonism, about Jehovah's Witnesses, about Buddhism, about Hinduism, about all these other isms, then you can hear about my Lord and Savior, because he's the only one that's going to be able to set you free. And I don't mean, get vindictive or, brazen and just say, I'm going to force this down your throat. But you know what? We have to learn how to let people open the door, because they have questions. I've never run into anybody that was unsaved that didn't have doubts about something in their life. And They're going to give you the opportunity if you pay attention. And when it comes, you just say, well, you know, I understand what you're saying, but there's something else that you should be aware of, that God has a different view of that. And what he has to say about it is going to maybe help you get through it. And if you can give them some of those answers, you got their ear. Now, if you don't, you don't look in that book yourself, and you come just to church on Sunday and the conference once a year, and don't get acquainted with who the God of that Bible is, then you may be are having a little bit of a hard time understanding it. And that's natural. Hey, nobody gets a degree in college that doesn't study. Nobody gets that grade average up that doesn't put forth some effort. And we've got to do the same thing, folks. It's get down to business time, because God is going to do something in our time that's going to be wonderful in our sight. And there's a lot of folks out there that are selling something that doesn't belong in the church. They want you to buy into this, you know, all you have to do is ask God for what you want, and he's obligated to give it to you. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God's not obligated to us. We're obligated to him. And he said to offer yourself a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. He's going to accept that if you're willing to give it. If you're not willing to give it, then he doesn't feel like he has to, you know, say, well, you know, I'll just give you what you want until you get ready to give me your time and your life and your strength and health. Because he'll let you get to heaven, and you'll stand there and, you know, say, well, Lord, what's coming to me? No, he's so gracious, he's not even going to give you what's coming to you. That's just the way it's going to work out. Because he's has something prepared for every one of us in the way of rewards, but some of us aren't going to get them, because we didn't do what he was asking us to do here. And yet, you know, you're not going to walk around heaven all day grieving and mourning, no, because he's going to wipe away all them tears and stuff. But I don't want to lose anything that he had planned for me, and I know you don't either. And all it's going to take is a little bit of effort on our parts here, saying, Lord, I'm yours. Do with me what you will. And that's not easy, folks. It takes some making up your mind, saying, I'm going to be the vessel that every day, not just on Sundays, because of moving Christianity, we go to church on Sundays, and we pay our tithes, and we be a good moral Christian during the week, and we fulfilled our obligation. No, you haven't. Every minute of every day, you are the Lord's. And when you get the mindset that says, Lord, I'm looking for you today, and what you're going to do in my life, watch some things happen. Watch some people come into your sphere of influence that you never thought would even talk to you. Because God knows what's going on around you, and he's looking for somebody to use to affect the situation. And if you're available, he will do that. That's right. It's not going to be something that you have to wonder about. Well, hey, can I do to make myself a better Christian? You let the Lord do that. You just put yourself there available, and fill your heart with his word, because that's his perspective. Learn how to think like he thinks, because that's what's going to make the difference. Because you'll have answers to give that will stymie them, will stop them dead in their tracks. And without bragging, I have a man. This man has all the money he needs in life. He's got a big business, races on the big, in fact, he's a big racetrack driver. And the Lord put me in his life a couple years ago. And we sit and talk on the radio at 10, 11 o'clock at night. And he tells me about what I'm about me and myself and what I'm going to do for myself. I've done for my, others, meaning his family. But, I just tell him what the scripture says about self. And not in a condescending way, but, hey, this is what the word says. And, it doesn't make any difference what you get in this world. If that's all that you're looking out for out of life, then you're going to end up with nothing. And he says to me, Enoch, boy, you sure put a different perspective on this thing. I said, hey, if I don't tell you this, then what? How can I get up and say, Lord, I'm willing to serve you, and I let this man go on down that path of life? Now, what he does with that, I don't know. I've known him for 2 years, and he hasn't changed his mind, but he's saying, he says, I can see things changing in my life, in my attitude, because some of the things that I would have done before, I won't do no more. So the Lord is talking to him. But you got to give God the opportunity to do that, and don't make any difference whether you like him or not. I don't particularly care for his ways, but I know I have to love him as one of God's creation. And, Joseph had to go through that same thing. His brothers hated him. They wanted to see him dead, but he never came up with not one nary a word about getting even or about, compensating them for their mistreatment of him by punishing them. And he certainly, as we know, got to a position where he could have done that. Folks, you got to let it go. This world is full of sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. And the rest of them are needing exactly what we have. Until they get it, they're going to act like sinners. They can't be anything else. If it's a loved one, why does my daughter or son do that? Because they still have that Adamic nature. They don't have a vision of what God is going to make them into, or where God's going to take them in life, or use their life for his glory. So they're going to do what comes naturally. They're going to sin. Now, it's a different story for you and I, because we know better. And when we sin, we have to do something about it. We have to take it to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness and ask for the grace and help to overcome it and just say, I'm not going to succumb to it anymore. I'm going to be an overcomer. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I love Joseph myself because here's a man that we don't see anything about God reprimanding him for his life. He is not sinless. But you know what that tells me? He kept his relationship with the Lord on a daily basis. He stayed right where the Lord wanted him to be in his will. And that is not hard to do, folks. We've been given the instruction to do that. It says, keep short accounts. Don't quench the spirit. If God's telling you to do something, go ahead and do it, whether you want to or not. Don't grieve the spirit. Don't do those things you know you shouldn't. Hey, it's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. The word tells God wrapped it up in two simple sentences. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's all of me. How about you? Is that all of you? Amen. And that doesn't mean I got a friend who means more to me. No, you don't. That's not a friend. That's a distraction. That's a means of getting out of God's will. And we as Christians can't go around telling folks, oh, it's all right for you to slip and slide with Jim or Joe or Bill or Bob. What we say about that is, look, that may not be good for you, because if that person's not willing to make a commitment to you based on their wanting to be there to do the best they can in helping you to live the life God intended, they don't mean you any good. They're only looking for what they can get out of it. And because we know when you take that vow, it says for better or worse, or most people won't even say that anymore. But, God intends for us to hang in there because he's given us the victory already. the victory, it was his at Calvary, and we can appropriate it. We don't need anybody to subsidize it. You know, I'm not on the SSI. But folks, when it comes to monetary things, we can't base what we do on how much money we have, because God has all, he owns all the cattle on a thousand hills there. They're all his, and when he opens his purse strings and pours us out a blessing, it says we can't contain it. Get expecting it. That's what you want to do. Let's expect him to do it, because he wants to. He wants to bless NCCB in every way, not so that I can go out and buy a new house or a new car. Hey, if the one I'm in is where he put me, let me do the best I can with that. And then if he decides, well, you know, I could use you better over here, I'd like him to move me, because he can pay the expenses. I can't, you know. So a lot of folks will say, I don't like this house. Well, that's, to me, that's being negative and selfish. If God blessed you with a home and a roof over your head, maybe you ought to go to Africa or Haiti or some of those places and see what those folks are doing. And they're walking around just as happy as they can be, praising the Lord. I've been there and seen it myself. And I, you know, it was an eye-opener that some folks know that life is, you know, worth living when the Lord is providing food and a roof over your head. It may just be a cinder block building, or it may be a goat out of the backyard that was walking around the day before. You don't have a refrigerator or a freezer full of food and an air conditioner to get in out of the heat. But they know the Lord, and they love him. And the kids are playing and having more fun than the kids we have in the street who are running around trying to kill one another. It's a whole different ballpark. But, you know, Joseph was a witness to Pharaoh's family. And Potiphar had somebody in his household. He could go off and, you know, do whatever it was he was into. Didn't have to worry about a thing. Folks, when you're a member of the body of Christ, we should be able to feel responsible to one another. We should not have to worry about what so-and-so is going to do. Now, Mark is not with us today, but you know what? God is with him, and we ask him to restore his health and strength, because there's always going to be some problems that we have in this natural body. It's not going, you know, if everybody was going to get well and to live a perfect life here on earth, we'd never want to leave here. How many know that's right? Because I know if I, you know, I just turned 70 last year, I'll be 71 shortly. But I realize that I've had 70 years of good health. But I started to feel some aches and pains this last year. And I said, Lord, I guess I got to start taking care of myself. You know, that's sometimes those little messages that you know, we learn have to come with some kind of a prompting. Well, God will prompt you. He doesn't beat his saints up. He doesn't punish us. God will never punish you for what you're doing. You punish yourself. If you get into bad health, you probably did something that might have helped you get there, overeating, not getting enough rest, or whatever. Then, of course, those things that come on us because we're human, you know, the cancer, some of the diabetes, leukemia, and all that, because we exist in this earthly frame. But we still have a God who's able to keep us going. I watched, and there's a couple people here who know this person, a man who was in the ministry 57 years. I pushed his wheelchair for about 15 of those years, and I had a saying, I have legs, you have eyes, let's go. And we went everywhere. We were big and bad enough to. And he influenced my life dramatically, because I spent many, many hours in his presence. And a lot of what he didn't say, was more important to me than what he did, because I saw it lived out. Folks, let's live it out. Don't let things get in the way. Don't let people get in the way. Don't let yourself get in the way. Because Joseph made up his mind that he was going to be faithful to God. How do I know that? Because the world don't see God in you unless God's in your heart. They're not going to see something that's not real. And Joseph was a man who lived it out. And he kept going no matter what the circumstances were. And he was able to arrive where God wanted him to be. And so will you and I. Because it's already been stated that we're going to see him face to face. And we want to face him in the knowledge that, Lord, you had me all the time. I was willing to do what you wanted me to do, go where you wanted me to go, and be what you wanted me to be. God bless you.